Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Every one of us are sinners and every one of us sin. How do you know what our heart is? How we respond.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about three types who reject wisdom. This message was recorded at a college chapel service in 2006. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, three types who reject wisdom.
I think as we did youth work in years gone by, we focused on these type of things a lot. But I want to do a reiteration because there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 20 that says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed." He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. And there are three types. If I want to choose friendships, if I want to choose relationships, if I want to choose to see what am I doing with the rest of my life, then we have to see what type of associations will help me along the way to do that which is the right thing to do. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 1 and we'll see the purpose of why Proverbs was written. You'll see that early on. I would encourage you, it's a 2.5 year study if you did one verse a day in the book of Proverbs, and I would encourage some of the ones who I am mentoring, I'm giving them this project, a 2.5 year project, and take one verse a day in Proverbs, memorize it, meditate on it. In 2.5 years, you will have a tremendous bank of wisdom. I did this many, many years ago. And you see things fall into place, you see things coming into order, and you see the benefits and the beginning of wisdom, the boundaries of wisdom, several ways you can outline this book of Proverbs, the person of wisdom, chapters 1 through 9, the principles, chapters 10 through 21, and then the practice of wisdom through the end of chapter 31. But what do we have as a reason why Proverbs was written? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now let's go over and we will see verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Three types in that verse who resist why Proverbs was recorded. And we will see the picture, two ways that a person can respond to wisdom. One is to receive wisdom. The other is to reject wisdom. While you have the hunger and the yearning to go a direction, you're still very much in warfare while you are in this world. And you have the opportunity to receive wisdom, or you can reject wisdom. And these three types that are listed are those who come in the category of those who reject wisdom or resist wisdom for whatever reason that it may be. Now let's look at number one. You see Proverbs 4:7, wisdom, the principal thing, speaking of the supremacy of wisdom, which is a whole nother message that we don't have time to do now. But wisdom generally has been defined as seeing life from God's viewpoint. That is, everything that I see in life, I learn to see it from the way God sees it. That has been a general, broad definition of wisdom. It can be broken down into many different categories, but we do understand this. It is the chief thing to attain in life. Now, what kind is the fool? The fool hates wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29. For he that hateth knowledge did not choose the fear of the Lord. You see that in verse 22. And fools hate knowledge. Chapter 1 and verse 22. He hates wisdom. Someone were to try to mentor him. Someone were to try to give him understanding, to give him right basis for right choices. And he would be in a position where he would hate that approach. He would hate you attempting to try to come and do anything with his life. What's characteristic? He sins with confidence. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. We'll look at this and we'll see that there is a way in which he sins. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. In other words, he will sin with a strut. Authority will be up preaching. Authority will be trying to draw a line and to lay out a principle. And authority will be trying to give the right direction, and there'll be a murmuring and a mumbling. I remember there was a guy sat next to me in chapel when I was in college. And his attitude got me so cranked, I jacked him out of his chapel seat one day. Was I right or wrong? I'm not sure. But he was, every time an authority got up, he was mumbling. I said, aren't you a senior? I said, what in the world are you doing here? Go somewhere else with your attitude. This is while announcements were going on in chapel. And I took my elbow and I jacked him. I said, out! He said, I was all right. I said, shut your mouth. I've heard enough of it. Was I right or wrong? I don't know. But you know what some students need in Bible college? Some students need a peer. They're not going to listen to an overweight, gray-haired man. The only thing, only hope I have is to take a verse and pray the Spirit of God will use you. You're not going to listen to me. I don't think I have the respect of this generation, but God's word should be heeded. But you know who will listen? If you love a peer enough to get in the face of a peer and say, straighten up. I talked to a retired pro football player this past year. And he says, you know what straightened me out? He said, I was unsaved. He said, the quarterback of the St. Louis Cardinals, a strong Christian, got me in the locker room one day and got in my face and says, when are you going to get serious about life? Sins with confidence. He is probably beyond correction. And this is barring the grace of God. Failures are never final as long as the grace of God is operable. But look in verse 10 of chapter 17. A reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You can whoop him. Turn him every way but loose. And there's no change. And thirdly, he has no place in a Christian school. Proverbs 17 and verse 16, I've used this verse many and many, many a time in educator conferences. Why is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? Let me read that again. Why is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? You see, it's a heart matter. You can pay tuition until your bank book is completely drained and your parents' bank book is completely drained. And you can pay a tuition fee and wisdom will never become yours because it is a matter of the heart receiving that wisdom. So there is the fool. Secondly, the scorner, he ridicules wisdom. What is true? You don't expect good results when you deal with a scorner. Look in chapter 13 and verse 1. Because he will not listen. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. A wise son hears a father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You can always tell a scorner by how he responds to rebuke. Stiff-necked, stiff face. I saw that in youth group. I saw it in youth ministries. Remember, I was in a youth ministry in Roseville, Michigan. There was a scorner, a girl in our group. And this scorner, because she was not going to accept the word of any authority, she was not going to have anyone telling her how to live and what to do with her life. After we would have a teen choir practice, we would go into youth meeting, and she would take a carload of teens, simpletons, who were influenced by her scorning. And then, right to make a statement to everybody, she would come in halfway through youth meeting with her carload. And there was a teens, one of the committees had a program going on. And when Denise came in, I stood up. I said, "Oh, program just changed." I said, "Denise, take your carload with your stinking attitude and keep driving. I love you, and you know I look you in the eyeball. I love you, but we're not putting up with your attitude anymore." She said, "I don't have bad." I said, "Denise, everybody here knows your attitude stinks, and we're not putting up with it anymore." And we're arguing back and forth in youth meeting, packed room. I said, "Honey, get in your car, take your little friends, and keep driving." And she broke, and I broke. I said, "Denise, you know I love you, and I have talked to you eyeball to eyeball, but you can no longer influence kids who want to do the right thing." And thank the Lord, she came to a point of submission. And I believe that was a righteous indignation prompted by grief. It was not a matter of acceptance or rejection. Her attitude, her scorning attitude, was influencing a group. A scorner will not love you when you rebuke. He will not love you. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 12. A scorner loves not one that reproves him, neither will he go to the wise. So you'll say, "Okay, this guy's a scorner. I'm his roommate. I'm going to try to talk to him." No way. He's not going to go to a wise man. And when you try to give him counsel and you try to say words to him, he won't seek wise counsel, nor will he love you when you deal with him, until his heart is broken, and then there is a response, and then there is a return to that which is the right thing to do. And he will not seek wise counsel. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of a wise use knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. And then it goes on where it's dealing with the aspect of the seeking of counsel that is the right counsel. And he will hate you when you try to make that attempt. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. He that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Every one of us are sinners, and every one of us sin. How do you know what our heart is? How we respond. When our wickedness and we have wicked hearts. We can't trust the hearts. We have to subject our hearts to the truth of God's word and let God examine the hearts, because we are born with hearts that are very deceptive hearts. Well, you go to a person, you say, "Okay, I'm going to talk to this person." How does that person respond? Let me say this. Actions don't prove a person's character. Reactions do. Now, let's say, as a practice, let's say that you were going to make a list of the sins of Saul. Okay, Saul was proud, so am I. Saul was impatient, so am I. Saul was very much looking to put himself in a right situation, in the right light, so do I. So all of the sins of Saul, we can relate to. But now move over to David. David deceived. David lusted. David made arrangements to commit a very wicked act. And then to hide the wicked act, he has the husband of this one with whom he committed the wicked act slain in battle in a very deceptive plot. If you were to look at an action list, Saul looks pretty good. David looks pretty wretched. Move over to the reaction list. Saul is confronted. Blame, not accepting responsibility, not acknowledging need. You say, "I'm sure glad I know some sinners." No, look in the mirror, pal. Look in the mirror. What did David do when David was confronted? David instantly came to the acknowledgement You say, well, David was caught. No, but his reaction was right. Who's on record as a man after God's own heart, and who was removed from leadership and influence and ultimately destroyed and went and scared the fire out of the witch of Endor, trying to work himself out of his own problem? So actions don't prove a person's character. Reactions do. Because I am capable on any given day, in any given situation, to commit a wrong thing in a place of temptation. Because I am still very much in the flesh, as you are still very much in the flesh. Reactions would prove. You say, oh God, give me a sensitive heart. I mean, David cried, Psalm 32, Psalm 51, and you see the penitent prayers of David. God, I restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Help me along the way. But a scorner is not going to do that. What do you do with a scorner? You deal with a scorner severely. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25. Smite the scorner, and the simple will be made wise. See, the simpletons are going to be influenced. Smite the scorner, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. So what has to happen with somebody who is a scorner? He has to be smitten. Now, in a setting like if you're principal of a Christian school or you're a teacher in a Christian school, you can't take this student in a corner and do what they did in the Old Testament. But there has to be a dealing with. And then expel, Proverbs chapter 22, in verse 10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Strife and reproach shall cease. You know, there comes a time when a scorner is going to have to learn in another context. Resisting wisdom, rejecting wisdom, rejecting those who try to teach wisdom, resisting those who would try to have a proper influence in the life. And you know what happens? When the scorner is removed, the simple become wise. Because the influence, how devastating is the influence of a wrong friend? How right is the influence of a right friend? What's true of the simple, the third category here? What's true of the simpleton? This is one, and this really makes up, when you go into youth ministry, this is going to make up the majority of the people you work with, because they're simple, but doesn't mean that, it's not a demeaning term, they're simply not knowledgeable. They're very naive. And that will be the majority of the kids you work with, the kids you teach in a Christian school. It'll be true of the majority of the young people you work with in a youth group. And you'll see three characteristics of the simple. He lacks understanding. That's a basic thing. He is a simpleton because he doesn't know. He has no understanding. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 4. Who is simple? Let him turn in hither. As for him that wants understanding, she saith unto him. And this is now the simple being warned about having proper knowledge. Who is simple? Let him turn in here. So here is the temptation coming along. There is the protection of wisdom, and then here comes the temptation and draws the simple one out because he is morally naive. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, he believes everything. He is easily influenced by a scorner. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, where it says, the simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. The simple believe every word. That is, they're told something, and they believe it. And, you know, usually you'll have tricks on freshmen. Those of you who ever work construction, you know, when a rookie comes on a construction site, you tell him to go and get the board stretcher. Well, he's naive. He wants to please. He doesn't know where the board stretcher is. When we were in the topping business, a rookie, we'd start climbing. I said, well, you've got to get the sky hook. You've got to go and find who has the sky hook. And, naive, lacks understanding. Not a dumbhead, just lacks understanding in that particular area. That'd be like me trying to be knowledgeable in some area that you have, and you can make me look like a fool in several areas of life. because I don't know a whole lot. But he is one who is easily influenced. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. There is guideline number one, rebuke the unruly. Okay, now, the reason I did what I did with Denise was based on this principle. Rebuke the no-rule person. And sometimes it means there's a public rebuke. Rebuke the unruly. There's a word that has to come. Okay, this person has shown himself to be a no-rule person. Okay, that person needs to be rebuked. And then it says, comfort the feeble-minded. This is really the simple one who lacks understanding. Now, this person needs comfort. And I have to discern, is this a no-rule person? Or is this simply someone who doesn't know and is very easily discouraged? You cannot take one who is easily discouraged and deal with that easily discouraged one like you would with a no-rule person, because you'd blow that person out of the water. Because you say, okay, this person is very easily discouraged, very easily down. And so what you do is you comfort that person who is feeble-minded. Support the weak, the third category. The weak is one who is the weaker brother. And the weaker brother is this one who lacks understanding, one who lacks knowledge. And a mentoring ministry will bring that knowledge to him. That's why when you get into your ministries, you yourself and everyone under your mentoring and everyone in the church where you're pastoring needs three people in their life. Number one, they need to have a Paul who is a pattern. They need to find someone who is an older person who is a model and is a pattern. And sometimes I'm insecure as an individual to begin with. And then sometimes as I get older, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I think I'm going to stop preaching in chapel because I don't think I have the respect of this generation. That's not a feel sorry for me thing. It's just that. I mean, 42 years of ministry, obviously, I haven't learned a single thing in ministry. And a dunderhead like that, who would listen to it? Let's make fun of them. But that's not really true. But sometimes I get these stupid, what Charlene calls stupid talk. Have you ever dumb talked? Well, I've done a lot of dumb talking in my life. I talked to this group of teens in Pennsylvania. I went and preached at this rally. And I said, you know, my passion is growing for teens. I said, my juice is completely gone. And all I can do is come here and throw a mantle and see who in this next generation will pick up the mantle. Who'll take the mantle from us who are not hurt anymore? What teenager, what young man, what young woman will say, by the grace of God, I'll take that mantle and carry that mantle into the next generation? But find someone who can be a Paul to you, someone who can be a pattern. Secondly, find a peer. That's a Barnabas. And then thirdly, we need a project. That's a Timothy. And the Timothy will take us out of ourselves. Some people get very smug, very self-centered. They know it all. You can't teach me a thing. I don't take notes in chapel. I have it all here. No, you don't, pal. No, you don't. There are a lot. The reason you have all the answers, you haven't heard all the questions yet. And I pray that we will get to a point when somebody is up trying to communicate wisdom, somebody is up trying to communicate a truth and to protect you with wisdom throughout life, that you will have a heart to receive and not to reject. And those, rebuke the no-rule people. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and then by God's grace, look for a pattern, look for a peer, look for a project, because the project will take you out of yourself. Who are you presently mentoring? Who are you presently building in your life? Who are you taking? The thing that I enjoy least is giving of myself, and that I enjoy it most when it's done. When you've met with someone, you've nurtured someone, prayed with someone, you have gone through the steps with someone, and you've seen their hearts built, and you've seen their hearts lifted, and you've seen them changed into conformity to Christ, that's a tremendous blessing. Young person, get a handle on that. And then as you look back over life, and you get emails, and you get letters, and you get letters from people who have grandkids themselves, then you begin to realize, well, this person doesn't foresee evil. The simpleton doesn't foresee evil. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. The prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And then what do? The discipline of the simple ones, he learns from object lessons. Proverbs 21 and verse 11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. He learns from watching. You'll notice sometimes in a family where an older child has done the wrong thing, younger children see it and see the consequence and see the activities and see, and then, you know what? They become wise because they learn from object lessons. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25, he that smite a scorner and the simple will beware, a verse we mentioned earlier. Secondly, there is great hope for the simpleton. Why? Because he is one who is simply simple because he doesn't know. And Proverbs chapter 1 gives the purpose to give subtlety to the simple. Why was Proverbs given? To give subtlety to those who are simpletons. Guidelines for the simple. Protect the simpleton from scorners. That's why leadership has responsibility. You as a youth pastor, as a pastor in a church, those of you who put in leadership roles, you have a responsibility to protect a body from someone who is a scorner. Expose the simpleton to wise people. He who walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 13, 20. I think I said 20 at first. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, not chapter 20. He who walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And then don't give too much freedom to a simpleton. Don't get caught in living a life to self-pleasure when you could really end up destroying the very purpose for which God created you, to bring glory to Him and give a picture of what He is like.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala with a message titled, Three Types Who Reject Wisdom. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.